We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Playoff football is back in Bozeman for another season. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Zach Mackey. The Montana State Bobcat football team welcomes in the Great Danes of Albany in the second round of the FCS playoffs. Albany defeated Central Connecticut State with a huge second half, 42-14. And the Bobcats set out a goal to be a first-round bye in the playoffs and has achieved that goal this season as they fight for a shot in the quarterfinals. Offensively, Albany has one of the top freshman quarterbacks in the league in Jeff Undercuffler, who threw for 6 touchdowns last week in the first round. Now, while he likes to take shots down the field, his typical and favorite receiver, Jawan Green, has 16 touchdown receptions on the season. And running back Carl Morfor has been a force out of the backfield. Standing at just 5'8", his low center of gravity has helped him pick up big yardage. On the defensive side of the football, Albany is ran by their great D-line. Eli Mensler led the conference with 14.5 sacks and is an edge rusher to keep an eye on. Now, the linebacking crew for the Great Danes is very active and constantly running downhill to fill gaps, and they do so well. Albany defense as a whole has forced 27 turnovers on the season. Coach Jeff Chum, as always, met with the media to discuss the matchup this weekend.
All right. Just get into some kind of opening thoughts, remarks, observations about the University of Albany. I think this team reflects their head coach in a lot of ways. Coach Gattuso is a defensive-minded guy, tough guy, very much a team that I think plays with a discipline that they make sure they do not beat themselves. I mean, they do not make a lot of mistakes. They do not give up a lot of explosives. They're top 25 in the country in turnover margin. They don't get penalized a lot. I think they're just a very disciplined team, very well-coached team. They take advantage on offense. I see a lot of things that they're doing game plan-wise to try to take advantage of things that perhaps have shown up on film or weaknesses that you have. And I think they've got the personnel to exploit those weaknesses. Defensively, they're very sound. They're not a heavy blitz team. Probably one of the teams this year that we played that blitzes percentage-wise less than anybody. They play a lot of quarters coverage. They keep things in front of them. They have a very good defensive line. And so that's kind of what I see, is I see a team that is playing in an excellent league, the CAA, played a lot of tight games, found ways to win a lot of tight games, because they didn't beat themselves. And I just think that's a tribute to coaching. I mean, so many times, and I've been a part of them too, where, you know, you don't lose the game. You know, you let somebody else lose the game, and that's what they do, you know. And so I think that's a big-time deal that they're doing. On offense, their quarterback, Under Cuffler, redshirt freshman. I mean, this guy's doing some historic things in terms of the way he's throwing the ball. Very confident, big arm, big, strong kid. Team rallies around him. You can see as you watch them throughout the course of the year how his confidence has increased. He makes less and less mistakes every week and attacks the field with more confidence. Their run game, which I think is really a critical part of their success when they get that run game going. And last week was kind of an anomaly. They really didn't get the run game going against Central Connecticut, but they didn't have to because they had so many open access throws in the RPO game and down the field. And so I think that's something we got to pay attention to. But 21, I really like this running back. I mean, he is an excellent, tough runner. I think, you know, sometimes you see guys and you're like, hey, he's a good FCS back. I think this guy could translate to the next level. Low center of gravity, 5'8", around 220. Very tough tackle, bowling ball. I mean, he's a tough guy to bring down, so I like that back a lot. They have a veteran, an experienced offensive line. Number 11 has 70 receptions and is a legitimate deep threat, but number 4 is special, I think. You look at a guy who's got 16 touchdown receptions. It doesn't matter if he's double covered, he's not covered, because Under Cuffler has trust and confidence in this kid, and he will go get it. He is a dude. 80 receptions, 16 TDs. I don't care if you're playing Pop Warner. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And this guy is a legit, I think, NFL type of guy. He's got top end speed, runs good routes, attacks the ball in the air, and he's a major problem. He's a major problem. I like their tight end 86 as a complimentary guy. He's very important to them in their run game. A lot of their run game goes through him. Probably an underappreciated guy, I would guess, in their offense. But this offense is built around run the ball, RPO, shots. We have a 5-game breakdown with 56 vertical shots. Okay? You do the math. And these guys are going to attack you vertically. They've got the personnel to do it, and they've got a quarterback with a big arm and confidence to do it. And so that is going to be, obviously, a huge part of their success this year has come through explosive plays, and that's going to be a big part of this game is our ability to try to limit those for them. On defense, I talked about it, not a huge pressure team, but they don't have to be. They got a guy number 12 who's got 14 and a half sacks. Their interior D-line, very twitchy. I mean, they're not overly big up front, but they're very, very active. I really like 97, 92, 94, and I talked about 12 as a pass rusher. I'm a D-line guy. You know, Coach Gattuso's a D-line guy. He likes D-linemen. His D-linemen play well. They're good players. And so they create a lot of problem, not so much with the blitz, but a lot of post-snap movement, not stemming pre-snap, but aligning in one shade and then jumping a gap to the other. They're very quick. And that's the challenge that they present inside. They get a lot of negative plays, and they don't have to, as I said, they don't have to blitz a lot because they're capable of getting pressure with 4 guys. And so I really like those guys. I think 23 is a really physical safety. They've got 2 big thumper inside linebackers, 44 and 45. They wad things. They play downhill into the line of scrimmage, and that's a problem oftentimes in the run game because offensive line-wise, what those guys always want to do is they want to try to create double teams and then push to the next level. Well, with those downhill linebackers, it makes it a little bit of a challenge. And so, like the way they play the game a lot on special teams, number 10's been kind of in and out, but that guy can really go. He's got a touchdown return this year already. I just think it's a really good, sound football team that very clearly deserved to be in the tournament and with the way that they played in round 1. And I think it's going to be a very challenging matchup for us on Saturday. Questions?
How do you think last year's playoff experience might help this year?
I think every year that you get an opportunity to do this, you learn something. And so, I made some mistakes last year, and I think it was not so much in terms of how we prepared for the second round game. It was the fact that we kind of, we eked in, so to speak. You know, we had to win out down the stretch, and we got a first round win, and then it was like, oh. And I forgot, hey, we got finals, we got all this other stuff. And so our kids were kind of distracted, I think. And so having a better plan going into this as far as, hey, last week was about 3 things. It was about family, it was about school, and then it was about taking care of your body, you know, sharpening the saw, worrying about our fundamentals, not an opponent. And this week we got to focus on school. We got finals next week. And so that can obviously be something that can distract young men. The weather is a factor to a certain degree this time of year, but the ability to just compartmentalize, I think, is something that I learned from that experience a year ago. Being able to take what's going on at this very moment, block everything else out, and just focus on it. And I don't expect that our kids are going to have that complete ability, but my job as a head coach is to try to help them do that. if that's the biggest takeaway I had from a year ago, was you can't really worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You got to take care of today, whether that's I got to get this paper done, get this presentation done, don't procrastinate. All those things will start to pile up on you as this time of year comes around. And so that's probably the biggest takeaway I had is just, you know, my job is to look at some of those things that are maybe on the horizon, but most importantly is to keep our team and our coaching staff focused on this moment at hand.
You mentioned wanting to recharge your batteries last week. Do you feel like there's kind of a new energy, I suppose?
Yeah, I thought our guys really, you know, we came in on Saturday and our guys had good energy. This morning they had good energy. And so, you know, now it's all about preparation. You know, it's all about digging in on the opponent, making sure that, you know, we can go play fast. I think there's a tendency sometimes to, you know, you're in the playoffs and it's, you know, it's the second season and you need to reinvent yourself. And I think that's something you got to guard against. You know, you don't want to all of a sudden put too much in for an opponent and not be able to go operate at a high level. And so really right now this is about us, you know, finding out how we can best attack this team and do it in a way that's not going to require too much thinking for our guys so we can go play fast.
I'm talking about as a guy who just shattered a school record throwing 6 touchdowns last week in that win. So, you know, what's the key to stopping the momentum that he's riding?
Well, yeah, I think there were some open access throws that he operated very well. And I would say this. I would say their coaching staff, I feel like, did a tremendous job of adjusting to how they were being played defensively and attacking Central Connecticut in the second half. So what does that tell you? They're good. They know what they're doing. They know how to operate. They're going to have eyes in the sky. And if you're going to consistently play them in a certain fashion, they're going to take advantage of it. Because you give one-on-one opportunities to number 4, he's going to find him. And they're going to make you pay. Because they're going to take enough shots, obviously, down the field that the law of averages catches up. And so I think critically for us is to not give them any one look. You know, I mean, you know, it's almost the same story all over again, right, with these quarterbacks that are playing at a high level. You know, you can't just sit in one coverage. You can't just play one leverage. You can't let them know what's coming because they're gonna exploit you.
You talk about the transition and the challenges of playing a team that you've never played, that has no like opponents. Do you go into the coaching well? Do you find any resources to kind of get some background on a team like this? We talk about those challenges.
Yeah, if I had the ability to, I would. I mean, I just don't. I'm not connected. You know, I know this is going to sound crazy. I've never been to the state of New York. Most of the guys that play for Albany have probably never been to the state of Montana. So there's not a lot of crossover, you know. And I think if it was a team from the Southeast, I could reach out to some of my connections down there. Team from the Midwest, team from the West. And, but, you know, there's certainly not a lot of familiarity. But I do think stylistically there's some similarity. And so I think that, you know, you are who you are on film after, you know, 13 games is what we've got to look at on them. And so it's, you know, it's going to come down to nothing that somebody tells you about their style or any of those types of things is probably going to have a huge impact on our preparation. We got to look at what we see on film, do what we do, and I'm sure they feel the same way. So I don't, you know, I think it's always good to be able to exchange information. I mean, the coaches hotline in the Big Sky Conference is always comical to me. You know, the longer guys are in this league, the more they know each other because it's a very homogeneous league. A lot of guys stay in this league for a long time. So during the course of a week, especially because you have this unbalanced schedule now, so if you're not playing a team, they'll be more willing to exchange ideas with you and information. And so we don't get that same kind of hotline between Albany and Bozeman right now.
You mentioned they've got to make the trip here. They played in front of, I think, 1,600 at their stadium last week, coming here to Bobcat Stadium. How do you feel? Elevation, all that playing in the factor?
I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but I think all that stuff's overblown. I mean, I do. I think you're going to be here for less than 24 hours. I mean, I guess they're getting here on Thursday, so maybe a whopping 36 hours. I don't think that's time for your body to get all jacked up on the elevation thing. So, you know, I'm sure that's something that they can think about. But, you know, we played at elevation, and I didn't pass out in 7,000 feet or whatever it was in Flagstaff a couple years ago. And so, you know, I think that's kind of one of those things. This is about the two teams between the white lines. This isn't about the elevation, the crowd, all that kind of stuff. This team has played in good environments. I mean, they played at Richmond. They played at Delaware. They played at Central Michigan. They played in, you know, bigger environments. And I think that this, you know, obviously we're hoping for a huge crowd. I mean, that's the biggest thing I'd say. You know, our students are still here. They don't have to pay for tickets because we've got all these awesome people in this community that are willing to step up and allow them to enjoy cheering for their home team one more time. And I tell you what, man, it makes an impact. I know that having those guys packed into the Sunny Holland end zone is an important thing for our guys. We feed off of their energy. And I know how important this program is to this community. And so we're excited to see if we can get a great crowd to support our guys. And certainly a home field is, you know, I mean, it's better than us having to go there. I would say that. And so, you know, the committee felt like we deserved an opportunity to host a game, and we're appreciative of that, and now we got to back it up.
I must say, after the North Dakota game, you made a logistic change with Coach Miller and Coach Armstrong being together on the sideline. How do you think that's paid off?
Yeah, I think that's always something you've got to examine. And you know, hopefully you don't get to a crisis point where you got to, hey, we've got to really do something to shake things up. And I felt like we weren't probably there quite there. But, you know, there was definitely a change that needed to take place. I didn't feel like the synergy between those two was as good as it was a year ago. And I think that the change has really been good. And I give credit to, you know, we put Eric Frazier up the first week, and then we brought him down and put Denarius up, because there's a few less moving parts in terms of our substitutions with the running backs than there is with the wide receivers. And I think he and Nate Potter have really kind of grown into their role upstairs in terms of being able to help Matt. And you know, I mean, Brian and Nate are, you know, I mean, they're connected at the hip anyway in the run game preparation. And for those guys to be able to kind of communicate during the course of the game, what are the fronts, what are the blitzes that are giving us problems, how can we attack those, that's been a really good team. And I think Denarius, with his quarterback background, being able to kind of give Matt some suggestions has been helpful as well. So I think we kind of found what works for us at this point. I know Matt, you know, big picture, I think the offensive guy, for the most part, wants to be upstairs where they can see the big picture. But I think he's done a really nice job.
What do you think Josh Hill has brought to the event, especially later on in the season?
Experience, leadership, production. I mean, probably those three words would come to mind immediately if you asked me about him. I think, you know, toughness almost goes without being said because of all the things that he's been through physically. But, you know, he's just a really smart football player. I mean, he studies the game. And some people don't have to, like Josh. I'm not saying Josh doesn't spend hours on end doing this, but some people don't have to. You know, they see it once or twice and they know it. You know, and I worked for a guy one time and he was talking about, like, you know, we'd get angry about this one player. I won't mention his name because most people would probably know who this person was, but that he's never in here studying film. And he doesn't set an example for the other guys, but all he does is just go out and play at a really elite level. And the coach looks at him and says, hey, the great ones just know. And you kind of have some of that with Josh. He just kind of innately understands this game.
Seems like number 12 on the edge, they do a lot to kind of get in one-on-one situations. You dealt with a little bit of that with Obina at Sac State. Do you see any similarities, and how do you kind of mitigate a guy like him?
He's longer and I think faster than Obina. He's not as big, but if you get in third and extra long and this guy gets one-on-one with a tackle, it's going to be a problem. And so, you know, there's some things that we've got to do. Being aware of his location is going to be important. And that creates, you know, there's sometimes some issues in terms of, you know, if you're going to slide the protection one way, they just move the guy on the other side and they can fix that, you know. And so we've got to be able to be smart about how we protect. And we got to have success on first and second down. We can't get into third and extra long. That's not good for us anyway, stylistically, but in particular because of the talent of their edge rushers.
And how important are those negative plays to them? It seems like with some of that base stuff and not a lot of blitzing, it's all about negative plays.
Yeah, they're not a team that leverages blocks up front. I mean, they're not going to try to strike you and create knockoff. Not that they don't do that periodically, but they're going to jump a lot of gaps. And that's kind of, instead of blitzing, they play very aggressive with their interior defensive linemen, and that allows them to, you know, create some creases and get some negative plays. And they do a really nice job. I mean, it's a very good team. It's a very good team.
Stylistically, it seems like, you know, a team from the East Coast may be a little bit different than a lot of the teams you play on the West Coast. Do you see stylistically, like, just in the overall breadth of the team, a difference coast to coast?
Maybe the one thing that stands out to me, and this doesn't necessarily have anything with the East Coast, West Coast, or anything like that, but maybe just by league, you know, is how wide open this league is. I mean, we're one of the best defenses in this league. God's talking, so don't worry about it. This is every day of my life. That's why we're glad to be getting a new facility. It's just snow coming off the roof, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about a thing. Getting back to the question, which I can't remember now, to be honest with you. I hear you. So we were talking about the league thing is interesting to me. So, like, in the Big Sky Conference, you know, I think we're one of the better defenses in the Big Sky Conference. We're like 39th in the country in total defense. Okay. Offensively, we're middle of the pack. We're like 20th in the country in total offense, which I would have never guessed. The only reason I did that is because I did a comparison of us, just our national rankings to Central Connecticut and Albany in the off week. And because obviously you can't look at league stats and go, okay, this is who this team is. You almost have to take this national approach. So what that tells me is, like, the Big Sky is clearly one of the more wide-open conferences in the country in terms of the offense. I mean, I think Eastern led the nation in total offense and didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, so, you know, that's it's a crazy way to look at it. And I think that just speaks to, you know, the spirit of the West, I guess. We're a little less, you know, a little less conservative, a little bit more wide open and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think the one thing I know is their style travels. You know, they run the ball. They play good defense. They don't turn it over. They don't penalize themselves. That to me, is why they're a second-round playoff team with the opportunity to keep playing, because, you know, all this stuff that we just talked about, plus they got good players. And I think they've done – I mean, you got to tip your hat to this group. I mean, this is a team that was picked, I think, preseason last in their league. I don't know how many games they won a year ago, but it wasn't many. And here they've been able to flip the script, and really they have a good group of seniors. But this freshman quarterback has come in and really changed the confidence of this team on offense and their ability to kind of stay in any game, because he can throw the ball 70 yards to number four like that and changes everything. So I don't know if I answered your question, but yeah. We'll go from there.
You talked about not wanting to reinvent yourself. Just how happy have you been that you've been able to, you know, keep running the ball and do that, and that it's paid off for you, especially the last few weeks of the season?
Yeah, in this time of year, there's a lot of coaches that probably sit there and go, gosh, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I'm never going to look back and say, you know, I wasn't who I am. I mean, I'm not going to have any regrets about this is what I believe football is supposed to be, and this is how we're going to play football in Montana State. And if it doesn't go my way or our way, and, you know, I become one of the cast of thousands that, you know, gets the call on Black Sunday or Black Monday, I can live with it. But I'm not going to try to be something I'm not. And so, you know, I think that's kind of the way it is nowadays.
You guys have been so good with your backs against the wall the last 3 years in November, especially this season. Now you're a team that's favored with a home game in the playoffs. How do you think that differs from the last couple of years? How do you hope to seize that?
I hope that we approach this game exactly like we have our backs to the wall, because we do. I mean, it's win or go home, playoff football. You know, we're not playing in the, you know, whatever bowl game that we've had a month to prepare for and trying to figure out if some of our kids are, you know, got one foot out the door. I just hope our kids are still hungry, which I think they are. I think the energy they had this morning showed that, and I think we're excited to be able to play some more football.
Bryce, just kind of how has he progressed since he came over from Washington?
I just think a lot of confidence would be the thing that, you know, I mean, obviously he's played more football, so you get better at football by playing football. You don't get better at football by watching somebody else play football. And so the opportunity to play a lot of downs here has, I think, benefited him and allowed him to showcase his abilities and talents. But I also think the fact that he's been able to produce has given him confidence, and it's what we all need. You know, I mean, you got to have somebody who believes in you, and you got to believe in yourself, and I think he's gotten to that point.
You like what you've seen from him, specifically playing at defensive end this year?
Yeah, I mean, his numbers are better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's one thing that, you know, we moved him from Buck, which was kind of the showcase position in terms of being able to get after the quarterback, to field end, and he's actually been more productive. And so I think that speaks to, number one, it's been nice to have Amandre on the other side. But I think the other guy that made a sacrifice to do that, whose numbers probably went down, was Derek Marks. But that doesn't diminish his importance to our team. And so I think that's probably a little bit of an underlooked piece of this too, is we needed to find a way to get all three of those guys on the field simultaneously.
You've been on the FBS side of it. How much fun is the FCS tournament part of it?
It's hectic. You know, so here's the difference. Like today, I don't care who you are, you're on the road. I mean, if you guys follow Twitter, everybody had their home visit pictures last night. Well, that's round one of the home visits, right? So that's what you're doing right now. If you're in bowl prep as an FBS coach, Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you hit the road. And you're doing home visits, and you usually get back on Wednesday night and or Thursday, depending on your schedule, how far out your bowl prep is. If you're playing a New Year's Six bowl, it's a little different than when you're playing a Christmas bowl, because you're compressed. But you're juggling recruiting, sometimes official visits, with game prep. And here it's like, you know, you're in season mode. You know, you're just, you know, keep grinding. And this is what we do on Monday. This is what we do on Tuesday. We still got to be able to juggle the recruiting piece and make sure that we're kind of protecting our turf, because everybody's out, you know, all the vultures are out and everybody's trying to poach everybody's guys right now. And then you got the coaching staff changes, and you're going to have this late wave of, you know, don't sign in here because you never know, we might take you over here. And so it's just, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on this time of year for us. But it actually, in a lot of ways, it feels good to be able to just stick to your routine. a little bit. And then it feels different, like Friday, Saturday to me feels so different because the stakes are so much higher. You know, it's not, hey, we finished on a high note this year. I mean, unless you're one of four teams, really, unless you're one of two teams at the end of the day that play for a national championship at the FBS level, the tournament's different. You know, I guess those four teams, that's it for them. But this is, I think it's special and unique and should be celebrated. I think it's an awesome way to go about it.
And not to put you on the spot, but do you think it's the right way to determine a champion?
Yeah, and trust me, I'm not making that decision. So, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to Google what Jeff Choate said about the playoffs. So, that's above my pay grade. So, thanks, guys.
And let's get a look at what else is going on in FCS football. Just 16 teams remain as James Madison will welcome in Monmouth. Northern Iowa makes the trip to South Dakota State for the second round. Illinois State has Central Arkansas. Kennesaw State is at Weber State. Wildcats trying to get it done at 1 o'clock at home. Southeast Louisiana was the victor, and they'll take on Montana at 1 o'clock Mountain Time. Nicholls State has North Dakota State in the second round at 1:30. Southern has Alcorn State at 2 o'clock. Austin Peay has Sacramento State at 7 o'clock. Bobcat fans will keep their eye on that one because the winner of Montana State and Albany will play into Austin Peay or Sacramento State. Danny Sprinkle and the Montana State Bobcats had a huge win over back-to-back Summit League champion South Dakota State. Here's a listen to what Coach Danny Sprinkle said after the matchup last night on the Bobcat Radio Network.
Welcome you back in 77-70. It's Montana State who wins it over South Dakota State. As we welcome you back in with Brian Preeby, I'm Zach Mackey, and now joined with the head coach of the Montana State Bobcats. And Coach, you're just at one of those points where it was a physical game back and forth the whole time, a one-possession game here and there, but a game in which you guys won, and it just was a real great ball game the whole way.
It was a slugfest. I mean, it was back and forth, and we'd come at them, and then they'd come at us. We'd come at them, and it was physical in the paint, and we knew it was going to be physical. And I think our guys were prepared for it. And I told our guys, you know, we won this game the last 3 days in practice. I was worried that I almost worked them too hard in practice. I was worried about our energy tonight, but the way our guys competed, you know, because I mean, we got after it in practice the last 3 days, and you know, they earned this victory in those 3 days.
Coach, how about some of the play? Like Harold Frey has another 23-point night, but a guy like Amon Adabu comes away with 19 points tonight.
Amon was huge, you know, especially being able to drive the ball downhill. You know, we put in a couple things today for him, you know, because we knew he's so athletic. And when he gets, you know, when he gets an angle and he goes hard to the rim, he's either going to get fouled or he's going to get a pretty good shot. And, you know, I can't say enough about his effort, but, I mean, Devin Kirby, you know, 1 point, but he impacted the game with 15 rebounds, and his job that he did, you know, guarding Douglas Wilson, who's an unbelievable player. You know, he's as good a player as we'll play against this year. And, you know, I thought he was fantastic using his length and, you know, and limiting, you know. I mean, Douglas Wilson still had, you know, 16 and 9, but, you know, to hold him to 16 is impressive.
When you look at this game, too, you know, coming in, they're a team that's among the top four in the country shooting free throws, both makes and just attempts raw. Mm-hmm. Attempts, and to come out of this ball game, I mean, pregame, if you'd have known, hey, we're going to make the same number of free throws, you got to feel pretty good, especially in a ball game that was so physical. The refs let both teams play throughout.
They did, and I mean, for us, you know, going 13-17 to the line was huge. You know, I thought Jabril, you know, going 5-for-5 was huge, and when he made his, they were at a critical time, and obviously, you know, anytime. And the crazy, we're 13-17, and Harold and Layden miss one, and they never miss. And so it's good that they missed on a win.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought everybody, you know, stepped up. And, you know, like you said, you know, the referees let the guys play, you know, which is how you want it, you know. And I thought they were fair on both, you know, both sides. So, you know, I mean, it was a fun game.
Walk us through the end there. So you come out of a timeout. The Jacks call a timeout. It's a two-point ball game, 72-70, and you got 49 seconds. Ball ends up in Harold's hands. Describe what you drew up from there.
Yep. And we were still up two. I know we wanted to get time off the clock. And so I wanted to kind of do some false motion, and I wanted to get the ball just to Harold with a flat ball screen and let him make a play. And, you know, hoping that they would foul him. And I think on that possession, I think he got to the rim, And he kicked it, and we hit the three. Michael Paulo hit a big-time three. And I'm proud of him because, you know, in the second half he didn't play a lot, but when his number was called at a critical time in the last minute and a half, he came in and got 5 points, you know, and that three was just a dagger.
Yeah, it really put Jackson in a tough position because you got Harold coming in from the right, and then you got Layden Ricketts up top. You got Michael Paulo in the corner.
Yep.
If you're going to help on the penetration, you got issues, and if you don't help on the penetration, you got issues, and obviously Michael Paulo made a play.
Yeah, he made a huge play, and that's what's hard about, you know, the play with Harold coming downhill is you have to help because he does a good job either drawing contact, getting to a foul, or he's really crafty around the rim, and their guy just bit a little too much, and, you know, thank God Mike made it.
Coach, what about two? Now guys kind of get a chance. They'll get a break. You got 11 days, a little bit longer of a break, but chance to be able to get finals out of the way too. I know, you know, that's a big part of this point in the season right now, trying to get them an opportunity to get some rest and to get done with that classwork.
Yeah, I mean, we got a huge week ahead of us in the classroom. And, you know, we're going to take tomorrow off, pretty much the whole weekend off. You know, we may just get them a little bit of a sweat on Sunday and just kind of run and shoot, you know, because sometimes I think it's a good break, you know, just to come in for a half hour and just get a sweat and shoot and then, you know, kind of refreshes you to get back to studying. And but, you know, I mean, that's I'm excited for the 10 days off. I know these players are too. You know, they've traveled all across the country the last month, and you know, they deserve a couple days off.
Well, Coach, enjoy this one tonight. Big win.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Coach Danny Sprinkle here on our post game as the Bobcats win it 77-70. And Amadadamu is going to be joining us here shortly. He had 19 points, was 8-for-14 from the field overall. Just a tremendous performance today. Amon, thanks for joining us. But what it seemed like right away in the beginning, you know, you got a couple of shots. The first 5 points came from you. Just were feeling confident out of the gate, right?
Yeah, we were just prepared from the start. We said in our in a locker room that we're always going to come prepared no matter what. And this game was a responsive game after what happened against Green Bay. So we was already ready for it.
What about, you know, a couple of times in your game, drive in, spin around, turn. Just talk about kind of that element to your game and how that has worked into the middle of the lane. You know, a lot of times big physical and you find that open shot.
Well, that's something I've always been doing ever since I've been playing, like just driving to the middle, being aggressive. And I felt pretty confident in doing that today's game. And that gave me a lot of momentum to just keep going, attacking, drawing fouls, and creating shots for other people. So that was great.
And as much as your offensive game tonight was fantastic, defensively, it's 6 rebounds on the defensive end, a couple block shots, a couple steals, had a huge tie-up where you got after a loose ball and got on the floor with Harold and forced a change of possession there. How'd you feel about your defensive game tonight?
Oh, I thought my defense was good. I thought it was great. Even as a team, we stuck to our details. We stuck to our rules. Our coach has always been on to us about helping each other out, being in a help gap, and all that type of rules. And we just stuck to it, and it helped out a lot.
How's that transition been from the junior college ranks here to D1 basketball now?
Oh, it's been a big jump. Just adjusting to the Division I level, sticking to the details. There's a lot of details I have to pay attention to. So with the help of Coach Sprinkle, Coach Haslam, Russ, Coach Durden, they've always been on our back. They've always had our back from the start, telling us they're going to be there for us. They're going to push us to the limit. Whether we like it or not, they're always going to be there for us, and we're always appreciative for that.
Well, Amon, you enjoyed this one. Big win tonight. Good work.
Thank you.
Amon Adamu here on our post game. We're going to break in and be back. This is Bobcat Basketball from Learfield IMG College.
The Bobcat women basketball team fell to top 25-ranked Gonzaga last night by the score of 70-55. And here's a listen to what Coach Tricia Binford said after the game.
Well, I thought, you know, when it kind of broke open, they hit some timely threes and stretched it, and we were just super cold from the perimeter. But credit, you know, the shot selection is also, you know, you're going against length and you're going against a very talented defensive team. So percentages typically come down, but it is very rare for us not to put a three-pointer on the board. I'm like, that's got to be a part of our game for us to be successful. But I like how we battled. I loved how we defended in the interior in the paint. I thought it gave us a chance going into halftime, keeping them under 30. It was our objective is to keep them under 15 per quarter, and then that third quarter kind of got away from us.
You mentioned that third quarter has kind of been a nuisance in earlier games. You know, What do you think that is, just not coming out with enough energy at halftime?
Well, I don't know. The last couple games we've had really good third quarters. So Seattle U and Minnesota, we had some pretty impressive third quarters, you know, and we seem to have a quarter where we kind of break things open. We just weren't able to do that today. I think Gonzaga was a big portion of that. We just never got ball reversal, got really great tempo established, but credit to them for taking those actions away. We've got to be a lot sharper and crisper against those kind of teams that are going to take your primary actions away. But that's why we're playing these kind of opponents. Told them in the locker room, this is the caliber of opponent I want to be playing to prepare us. So we're certainly getting better. We don't love the result, but I also think it's going to be a whole lot tighter contest if we're hitting three ball at all.
Well, what was kind of the attitude at halftime, that game, or in the game being close at that point?
Well, it was just kind of trying to continue grinding it out on the defensive end and really let the offense come to us. You know, we were just trying to take some pretty quick shots where we weren't getting any ball reversal, and we've got to have a little bit better spacing to do that. And I thought we stretched a little bit better in the second half to get some flow. I thought Ole helped us do that, get us going. I thought these two really started us off strong. They were really attack-minded from the start of the game. And I think that shows kind of their better leadership. But, you know, that team's ranked 17th, 18th for a reason. They're really, really tough across the board. And when you're trying to take the pain away, that's the action. You're going to give something up. And for us, it was giving up the three ball. And we had to take the chance and let it fly. It didn't work out that way.
What was it like having a ranked team come in here to have that opportunity?
Well, I mean, it's obviously great for your community. I respect Lisa and her program tremendously. I think she's one of the best coaches out there. So when we had the conversation, you know, we're going to actually return next year. We're doing a home and home with them. But, you know, it's obviously gotten people in the seats, and we want to bring great competition into the field house, and we want to challenge our ladies to become the best that we're capable of becoming this year. And this certainly makes us grow.
You mentioned playing teams like this, you know, isn't enough, that you want to win these games. You know, I think you have Wichita State and Texas A&M coming up. What do you think it'll take to make that step to, you know, win?
Well, you know, I feel like our defense has been fairly consistent. We had some things like out of bounds defense today was a train wreck for us. That's got to be off the board. But if you look at our overall half court defense, I feel like our defense is giving us a chance to be successful. And we got to figure out some things on the offensive end. I think we need to become a well-oiled machine, and our well-oiled machine is trying to do it on its own at times. And we got to be able to have the resolve to continue playing through some actions when some other actions are taken away. And so I just need to spend more time on how I can help get them there on the offensive end, because obviously 19 turnovers isn't going to get it done, although we did force a lot of turnovers today. And going 0 for 13 from the three-point line is a struggle for us. So we certainly want to shoot the ball better from the perimeter. But I think for us, it's been that turnover piece that we just have to do a better job taking care of the ball.
The Bobcat football team needs your support, and students can get into the game on Saturday for free by claiming their tickets online. General public tickets are just $10, and there are still plenty available. And you can get yours by going to msubobcats.com. Playoff football will start at 1 o'clock with pregame coverage starting up at 12 o'clock on the 13 radio affiliates and the TuneIn radio app across the state of Montana. Make sure you follow MSU Radio on Twitter to get the latest video and audio. We thank all the Bobcat fans for continuing to listen and subscribe each week. And you can do so on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Until next time, I'm Zach Mackey.
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSUBobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.